Blog Talk Radio.
Fellas, what's going on? What's going on, world? What's up, everybody?
And the man in the middle from Canada at 6'4", the Maple Leaf himself, Proteus.
What the?
A 6-foot guard from Waco, Texas, the one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, what que pasa, vatos?
And me, I'm the DJ not in the PJs. Gentlemen, here we go. UFC 203. And I got to be honest with you guys. The first thing that I'm looking at in this card, and you know how I am with the women, is the women's bantamweight itself. Of course, Jessica.
I.
And Betch. Smack my betch up, Pitbull Cojea. Here we go, fellas. Let's go into the main prelims. We go Jessica I, 30 years old, gentlemen, 11-5-1. But interestingly enough, Marco, she's 1-4, 1-4-1 in the UFC. Her last win was almost 2 years ago in Mexico. She should be 2-4, but you know. Her first UFC win was overturned after testing positive for the Mary Jane. Marco, what you got?
I hate to admit it, man, but I seen Best Correa's gonna knock Jessica I out. As much as we, you know, love to hate Best Correa, and we everybody enjoy when Ron Rousey face planted her on the promotion of the movie, you know, up in Brazil. Everybody loved that. Best Correa is a brawler, and she got knockout power, and she's a dog, man. She's a pitbull fighting. Jessica has not looked good in the UFC. Jessica, she's a decent fighter. Her best fights are in Invicta for crying out loud, and that was, like you said, a couple of years ago. On the other hand, Best Correa, you know, she kind of made her mark calling out the force horse women. And got herself into a title fight. He lost her last fight after the championship fight, but she wasn't embarrassed on the her second loss. I'm going with Best Correa as much as it pains me to do it, and I think she's gonna TKO Jessica Ayer on the second round.
Lerone, what you got?
Okay, fellas, I think I'm gonna have to agree with Marco on that, man. I think Betch is gonna show up, and she might finish her also in the second round. Yeah, Jessica I, man, she's like the little engine that could, man. You know, she came into the UFC, and she, like you were saying, I think she's a great fighter, but she just, you know, like when you go to work and you're just not clicking on all cylinders, you're just not having a good day. It just seemed that every time she, you know. You know, you have a camp for some odd weeks, but, you know, one day you're in the cage and you're fighting, and she'd just been off, you know, a no contest, a split decision loss, and then one win, which was a doctor stoppage. So, you know, people try to tend to feel funny towards doctor stoppages. It's like, you know, if the doctor didn't stop it, how could it really went down? Then three straight, you know, I think she got a longer leash on staying in the UFC off the strength of the Cleveland card, you know what I mean? I think she probably wasn't let go before because the Cleveland card wasn't added until Stipe won and then LeBron got the ring, so it made sense. So I don't think she was necessarily kept, but I bet you if she loses after this, man, they probably will cut her. I think she's a decent fighter, but it's just she haven't had the chance to just, you know, really kind of execute, you know, her skill in the UFC. I think she's up to par with the fighters, man, but you could just have an off night. Look at Anthony Pettis. I mean, you know, not to get into him, but he just had an off, you know, off night, man. You get some top fighters, man. They come into the UFC and they just had off nights, and it might make them look like, yeah, they're not that good, but nah, they just so happen to have an off night, and it just, you know, they pay for it, and it sucks at the end of the day. But I'm going to go with Fesh Correa, and Marco was saying, man, I think, you know, coming off that loss with what's her name, Rousey, you know, and then she had a chip on her shoulder, and she got into the fight with Pennington. It was a split decision fight. I think she really just want to, you know, get back, you know, in like that talk of top five where her name is thrown in the mix with the other women. I think she's going to probably KO her like in the second round. I also think that in Cleveland, that might be, you know, a lot of pressure on her too, you know, being with, you know, win-loss, you know, overturn, doctor stoppage, you know, three straight. You know, and then she's fighting at home, you know, but then it could also be, you know, some kind of fuel to the fire to, you know, squeeze out a win. But I got Vesh Correa KO in the second.
Yeah, okay. I've got to agree with Lerone on one thing, that this is definitely a test for I. You know, if you can't beat this girl, what's next, right? I mean, who do we give you after this? You go back to Invicta, I think. I think if I doesn't win this, she goes back to Invicta and maybe beat some girls up there, or doesn't. I don't know. As we've stated, I hasn't really looked good in the UFC. You know what I mean? But having said that, I mean, who's Betch fought? Who's Betch beaten? She got a title shot because she was the one making the most noise, you know?
True.
Betch hasn't beaten anybody, so this is going to be a good test. And yes, the Cleveland pressure is going to be really, really heavy on I. And that's the thing. We have not seen I perform well under pressure at all. So I'm gonna lean towards Betch here. First round knockout.
Wow, guys, I think we're way off here because, I mean, and maybe not in my favor here, because I'm actually looking at this, and I'm looking at just, you're right, that Jessica I hasn't fought anyone. But the one thing about Jessica
I
is the fact that she's fought better fighters, guys. When you, it's true. If you're looking at it, keep in mind, when she was in Bellator and then AAFS, and she had a win streak of about six straight. Then she fought Sarah Kaufman, who she beat, but it was overturned, right? Kaufman, of course, is a good striker. Then she fought Alexis Davis, split decision, didn't really impress. You guys are right about the Leslie Smith, but good Lord, she took off her ear off, right? Then she fought the lovely Misha Tate. She lost that, but keep in mind, decision loss. Then she fought Juliana Pena, who's one hell of a fighter. Probably the best right now, in my opinion, in the Batman weight. And she won. Pena won, but it was a decision. She fought McMahon. She didn't look good at all versus McMahon. And that was a decision as well. Then you start looking at Smack My Betch Up. Betch Kohea, guys, and Proteus was right on this, guys, but if you start looking at her, she's 3-2 in the UFC, that's true, but with two straight losses to Rousey and Pennington, and the people that she beat, Julie Ketsy, no longer in fighting, and mind you, this is not the same Julie Ketsy from Strikeforce. Jessamyn Duke, certainly not a UFC quality fighter. She's lost like three straight in Invicta. Shayna Baszler, I think, is now in professional wrestling. She's not even in UFC anymore. Got KO'd by Rousey, lost a split decision that wasn't even close. I'm surprised that was a split decision with Teixeira Evans with Pennington. Somehow I think Jessica I pulls it off, guys, and I think she pulls it off in a decision in Cleveland.
Wow.
I'm going to tell on you and Chena Baszler, man. She's going to go and Queen Spade you.
Yeah.
You guys got a point. I mean, you guys got a point. I mean, to kind of elaborate on what you were saying, Tony, she did take out three of the four horsewomen of the whole, you know, Rousey squad. And the only one I'd say who's pretty, you know, declarated as far as, you know, being a, I would say, a 500 fighter is Baszler. She just got caught, and Baszler's another one. She just didn't show up when she was in the UFC, man. You get some fighters who are good fighters, and then when it comes to the dance, man, they just can't, you know, they can't cut a jig. It's, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's rough, man, you know?
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to say, Tony, is that basically if this fight goes out of the first round, I think it's eyes. But I also think that Betch has that KO power. Like, if she's going to come at her like Cyborg and just rush her and clip her on the chin, I think that's in her favor. So that's why I'm going to pick her. I see it going down that way. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
All right, gentlemen, moving to the main card we go. Women's strawweight. Jessica Andrade, 30 years old, 11-5-1. Sorry, Jessica. Sorry. Jessica Andrade, 24 years old, 14-5, purple belt MBJJ. Jessica Andrade is 5-3 in the UFC, losses to Carmouche, Reno, and Pennington. Last torch, the beautiful Jessica Penne Pasta. Joanne Calderwood, 29 years old, 11-1, guys. She's the underdog. Calderwood is a Scottish Muay Thai champion. I didn't know that. Her only MMA loss to Marina Moroz, which I'm surprised at because she did lose to Nama Yunus, right, in the tough quarterfinal via submission, of all things. Lerone, what you got?
Oh, man. This fight here, I think I don't know, man. It can go either way, man. I think Calderwood, I would probably maybe slight her a little bit to pull out the win. And Draj just seems like, you know, she goes out there and I don't know, some nights she's on, some nights she's off. You know, she's been lost one, win one, you know. Like you said, if she gets her on the ground, man, I could see her, you know, subbing out Calderwood. I think Calderwood basically is I don't want to say like on a tear, man, but I think she'll pull it out, man, you know. She won her last two, you know. Her last fight was a KO win. She got a sub. I don't know, man. I think I'm a little more high on. I don't know what it is, man, with the Brazilian fighters, man. It's like when all of them are kind of like taking a loss, man. It just they all kind of like follow suit, you know. I'm gonna have to go with Scotland on this one, man, and go Calderwood, man. You know.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough call as well because Andrade is a pit bull. I mean, literally. I mean, just like most of her Brazilian counterparts, she's tough, man. You can't count her out. I think what I'm going to pull from here, I think what I'm going to go on here is what I'm feeling is that, you know, JoJo got a big pop, you know,
right.
From her last win. I mean, it wasn't at this. It was at 125, so. It's not the same thing. I get that, but she's had a lot of more time to prepare for this fight and get down to the weight. And so I think from her last performance, Calderwood is going to bring over a lot of, you know, good feelings about that. She's been able to continue to train at TriStar, I believe. She's still training at TriStar. And, you know, once you get under the tutelage of that camp, you learn some new things. You pick up from the, you know, iron sharpens iron. We all know the cliche. And I'm going to go with Calderwood here. I'm going to lean towards her because I think carrying over that big win from her last fight, it's going to resonate with her, and she's going to bring that into this fight against Andrade.
Yeah, a lot leaves Scotland in this one. Calderwood is the superior striker, and she's been showing off her grappling, you know, basically her anti-wrestling. You know, she's getting really good at scrambling back and stuffing takedowns to keep her on the feet, where she's actually really, really good. It was kind of weird that she got that 125-pound fight in her very last fight. But, hey, you know, they're doubling with maybe, you know, probably bringing a new division at 125.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it was interesting, you know. I truly think that Jessica Andrade is sort of like a journey woman on the division. She's never going to be a top contender. She's going to beat, you know, the lower tier fighters, and you know, with the ones that are on the top 10, top 5, that she's going to lose. And I think Calderwood is top 10 and top 5 material. They're grooming this girl to be the new face of Scotland and England. You know, I like Conor McGregor. She got a really good pop when she fought out there I think they fought in Scotland, if I'm correct. They were in England somewhere, and she fought, and she got a really, really good pop, you know, from that crowd. So I think they're grooming her for that kind of the market. I will take Calderwood on a straight 30-27 decision, two rounds.
Yeah, I believe we have a caller. I think Tony's going to try and bring him in, or her.
Gentlemen, we
Tony?
Have a caller. Let's go ahead and get the caller on. To the 813 we go. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, I'm a big CM Punk fan.
Hi, Mr.
Yeah.
Punk fan.
And I usually don't buy cage fight type pay-per-views, but I think I'm going to buy the one this weekend.
Just for CM Punk, right?
And
the reason I like
CM Punk is because during a wrestling show I went to in Connecticut one time, he spit on a bunch of Mexicans in the front row, and I just thought that was hilarious, fellas. Clearwater Beach bad boy checking into the program.
Welcome to the show, Clearwater.
Two biggest stars, by the way, of MMA Junkie
it.
Radio. The one and only Clearwater and Marco from Waco.
What's up, Clearwater?
It pains me to admit that I am glad to have you on the phone, Clearwater. Go ahead, man. Take over. Do your thing.
We must have lost him because he would be talking right now.
Oh, you know
him. Yeah.
They love him. They love him or they hate him.
Darn. All right. Well, let's go. So
hopefully he calls back.
I was.
Yeah. How the heck do you? Darn. We lost Clearwater. All right, guys. Well, let me give my two cents, because you know what? My two cents mean nothing if you follow this program, because I don't know who has a worse record, Proteus or myself. Marco's the one that's undefeated here. But Andrade versus Calderwood, guys. I just think Andrade has looked really, really good. She's fought at a bigger weight. Calderwood always has a hard time fighting at 115, guys. I think Andrade somehow takes it and takes it very well. I think she submits Calderwood, to be honest with you, because Calderwood is hit or miss, guys. She has all the talent in the world. Like Proteus said, she's cute as a button, but her head's not always in the game, guys. So I'm going to take Andrade via submission, let's just say, in a second.
Hit or miss, she's 11-1. She only missed one time. What are you smoking, dude?
Well, she lost to Nama Yunus. Don't forget, she did lose to Nama Yunus. She was submitted.
That's not her professional record, though. That doesn't count on her professional record, so I don't know.
Oh,
if
wow.
We can. I don't know if we can count that.
We have Clearwater back. To the Clearwater we
yeah,
go.
Let him rip.
The one and only Clearwater.
Let him rip.
Fellas, my minutes ran out on my burner track phone. I apologize.
It's all right. Go into it, please. Get it done.
Guys, listen, I have said on the program, and by the way, Marco is doing a fantastic job. I'm listening to you guys here as I'm waiting for a couple of escorts to show up at about 150 apiece, guys, so I can't stay on long tonight.
Nice.
What I can tell you is this. I love the value of the CM Punk. I think it's phenomenal. I can't believe he's the third or fourth fight because, let's face it, guys, there is a lot of people buying this shit because of him. It's drawing in a crowd that never would have been there before. I've talked to a lot of wrestling marks who are into this because let's not forget, this just isn't a wrestler. Okay, this is perhaps one of the top 15 best sports entertainers of all time, according to a lot
True.
Of publications. So this isn't just some guy like we've seen before. And guys, I've counted, there's been over 25 professional wrestlers that have crossed into the cage and won. We know Brock Lesnar, but there's more than just him. Celebrities even more. We don't even have to bring up Herschel Walker to know that you could be successful at some level. So I'm interested in this. The thing that scares me, guys, and I want to get your take on this, is about 4 days ago, CM Punk was plus 250. Now, you got to look at the Vegas betting line. That means if you bet $100 on CM Punk, you would get back your $100 plus 250. As of about 15 minutes ago, he was plus 340. That means almost twice as much. That is a huge, huge underdog, and Vegas does not think it'll go over a round and a half. So what do you guys think? Is there something out there that we have yet to hear about? I mean, that is a huge jump on a Vegas line.
Yeah.
It's a lot about, one, the age of the guy. The guy's like, for fighting purposes, he's ancient. He has had several surgeries because of his wrestling career and otherwise.
Yep.
The guy has only trained 2 years, quote-unquote. He's really not athletic experience. He didn't play high school football. He didn't play college wrestling. He hasn't done anything. He was a performer. But the guy is famous for opening his mouth on the pie bomb on Monday Night Raw, you know, throwing all sorts of freaking insults to Triple H and Vince McMahon and all that crap. That's what he's famous for. But
yeah.
What is he going to do? The GTF, they go to sleep? Give me a break, man. I mean, this is I understand there have been wrestlers that have gone into MMA, famously in Pride. You know, Alberto Del Rio, for as much as I punked the guy was actually a decent fighter. Yeah, Mirko Krokop kicked his head into the third rafter, but his other MMA fights, the guy can actually hold himself up. The problem is not the fight that the guy is fighting. It's where he's fighting. He should be fighting on a preliminary card, on a regional card, on Titan FC or Legacy. That's where this fight belongs, and that's what people got a problem with it. We see the footage, man. We see the footage on the demolition of Punk or the evolution of Punk or whatever the fuck you want to call that show. The guy looks like shit. Yeah.
Should have put him to the
house,
you know?
He's going to get destroyed. Even on the Tough House, you got guys that got two, three, four, or five fights. You're going to get
on
your
Marco.
Own.
Marco, I think you're right there. I think they're right with the footage that they put out. I think that's why the line has been changing, because he has looked really terrible in that footage. I've not watched a single piece of that because I don't care about it. But I think that's why the Triple B. I think that's why the line has changed, because people are picking up on the fact that he looks like garbage and he's got no fights. 0-0-0. Back to you.
So isn't this just a slam dunk then, guys? I can imagine we're all putting several thousand dollars on Goldman. I mean, this is money in the bank, right? I mean, Vegas should clean up on this, right? Or what are we talking about here? Because, you know, let me ask you this. Now, you know who was a bigger underdog was Jose Canseco, who actually lasted a couple of rounds in several fights. Jose Canseco went into a Pride ring, guys. I mean, this has all happened before. And I agree with Marco 100%. The guy has no real athletic background. I think there has to be some athleticism to being a professional wrestler. We all remember Frank Trigg getting into the ring, and he was absolutely terrible as a professional wrestler. He was garbage. So there is some art level to it. But as far as taking a shot or a hit or that first compression, but I wonder about the line, because so many people are dead set against this. The line should be actually shifting if that's the case, and I think it is. But people are putting a ton of money on this thing, guys, and if it's that easy. But do you think Jose Canseco was a little further stretcher because he hit a baseball and did some juice, he had a better chance to win?
It's all about the juice, Clearwater. All about the juice.
Now, guys, let me leave you with this. I brought this up on the show. The Clearwater Beach Bad Boy actually saw Ronda Rousey about 3 or 4 weeks ago walking at a boardwalk. And I saw her, guys, and she was grossly overweight. Almost, if it wasn't for her dog that she was walking with what looked like a security guard, I would not have recognized her. Her dog is actually in some commercials, and I believe shown. Guys, she looked disgusting. And I don't mean disgusting as a woman. I mean disgustingly out of shape. I don't see her doing anything anytime. Now, they didn't want me to talk about that when personal trainer to the stars, I forget his name, was on the junkie show. What is that guy's name again? The guy with the huge head? What's his name? Dolce.
Yeah,
there we go. Dolce, yeah. Right. Let me ask you this. Could Joe Rogan beat CM Punk?
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Joe Rogan
definitely
will tool CM Punk. Joe Rogan will twist CM Punk like a pretzel. He's a black belt in Taekwondo, black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He will actually eat CM Punk for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Remember back in the day, actually, he was supposed to fight Wesley Snipes. Remember that? And Ty Mack was Bruce Leroy and was Bruce Leroy in Enter the Dragon. You know, he's a person who studied the art also. You know, so shit, all three of those guys could probably, you know, on paper, whip CM Punk. You know.
Let me
heard
a
go
little
ahead,
bit more about the Wesley Snipes, and Joe Rogan. Let me tell you why that would never have happened. There was no way you do realize Wesley Snipes has a glass eye. Everybody on this show knows that that's a legit thing, correct?
Correct.
Oh, no, shit, I didn't know that.
He couldn't pass a physical. He lost his right eye in a boating accident like 25 years ago. The guy could never pass a physical. He's addressed it before, and even in a movie called Money Train, Woody Harrelson threatens to shoot him in his good eye. So it is out there. So that probably never would have happened.
Wow.
Let me ask you this, in all seriousness, before I let you go. I had to set up a line right now, and it is, of course, one of my favorite fighters, Fallon Fox and CM Punk. Guys, I want to hear who wins that. God bless.
Fallon Fox.
Yeah, Fallon Fox.
Fallon Fox.
I didn't know Wesley Snipes had a bad eye, guys.
Wait, I didn't know that either. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been part of the vernacular of Wesley Snipes for a long time. Hey, let's get back to the order of the business. I mean, I know Clearwater took us a little bit from a detour, but let's go back in the order and we can talk about CM Punk and Mickey Gall, you know, at the due time.
All right, guys, let's go to the Batman weight we go. Uriah, do me a favor. 37 years old, 33-9, guys. 14 UFC fights, 9-5 in the UFC, and he's the underdog. The UC Davis grad, the California kid, is 3-3 in his last 6 fights. So he's been very average. And Proteus, he's going up against Jimmy El Terror Rivera, 27 years old, a very impressive 19-1. Now, Rivera hasn't lost in 8 years, guys. 8 years.
Wow.
Rivera is a decision machine. There's no doubt about it. But since his return to the UFC, guys, he's 3-0. Proteus, what you got?
Yeah, this one's very tough because I'm looking at their fighter picks, and they both look very stern. But I think that Uriah is kind of, I know he's been looking good lately, but I don't know how good he's going to look against the new crop of guys coming up. And I think Jimmy Rivera is really in that kind of a grouping. I mean, he's been here before. He's come back. He's looked impressive. But again, I mean, I've picked against Faber many times and it's never worked out for me. So I'm very conflicted here, but I think I'm going to take Jimmy Rivera and I think I'm going to take him second round KO.
Marco, what you got?
I cannot go against the California kid, man. The guy only loses to the very best. Dominic Cruz, Frankie Edgar, freaking Jose Aldo, Rehan Barao, where he was the king of bantamweight. He only loses to the champions or former champions. He does not lose to people he's not supposed to. Yeah, Jimmy Rivera, he got an impressive record, but you go to the list of names that he had beaten, and there is nobody that actually pops out and make you go, wow, really? He beat that guy? This is the biggest name that Jimmy Rivera has ever faced. This is the biggest showcase he got, Uriah Faber. I do not see that he tried to decisionate Uriah Faber is going to go good for him. Uriah is very seasoned on the ground. Nobody submits Uriah Faber. Nobody submits Uriah Faber. That is just the bottom line. A TKO KO, yeah, he didn't look too good in his fight against Dominic Cruz, but he has never been a clearly TKO KO. You see the second hand number alpha that he's giving the thumbs up to Herdin, and then they stop the fight. He was still defending himself. You can argue that they could let the fight go, but that said, I'm not going to go against Uriah Faber. He's a greedy veteran. He's not going to get all overnight, not on this fight. I believe that Uriah is going to probably get a decision. Let's give Rivera one round. 29-28, Uriah Faber decision.
Lerone, what's your
Marco.
Lerone.
Hey, Marco, are you reading my notes over here or what, man? Damn, man. I'm sounding like Marco's echo, man. I'm about to say the same. He's over here looking at my notes.
It's not my fault that I'm an MMA genius, man. 11-3 overall.
Yes, sir. Hey, I don't argue with you on that. Yeah, man. let me repeat what I was going to say. Now, let's look at Faber's record. I mean, from 2011 till now, he lost to Edgar in his prime. Burrell, when he was undefeated, 29 or 28-0 or something crazy like that, and your boy Dana White. Oh, he was. Remember when Dana? Oh, he's the pound for pound best in the UFC. A lot of people might not remember, but he said that.
Don't believe anything Dana says.
Exactly. I know. I don't. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. I'm giving you the resume of these people that he lost to, and at the primes and at the time, and he was undefeated. And he was running through everybody until he lost to Dillashaw. Then he fought Cruz, and then Cruz is Cruz. You know. They're like what's his name? Maynard and Edgar. You know, they both Cruz got it 2-1 now, so before it was tied, you know, they both win one, lose one, you know, in their little trilogy fight, Faber and Cruz. He lost to these three different people in 3 or 4 years? It's crazy when you look at his record because he's nine and five, but I mean, look at the people he lost to. Like Marco was saying, he's not losing to like your top 10, your top 15er. I think in that one fight when he fought Frankie Saenz, I thought he got robbed. He got robbed. It was an eye poke. I'm sorry.
I said yeah. Saenz looked good on that one.
Yeah, he did. He almost edged it out. So. I don't think Faber's in his prime anymore, but I think he's still up there, man. Where he's just excellent wrestling on the ground. He, you know, got power in both hands. He's decent on the feet. But like you said, with these new crop of fighters, man, I think El Terror could, you know, give him some problems. But I still have to go with Faber, man. It's hard to pick against Faber. He's not losing to your top 10s and your top 15ers. Even though he haven't looked as good, you know, haven't looked good as of late, but he's losing to, you know, these top guys, and he's, you know, kind of repeating the same fights with the same fighters, who are top fivers and lost to them when they were like either in their prime or they held gold or they was a contender. He's definitely kind of out of his prime. I think he can still hang with these guys, but he's not going to get a clear definitive win on this guy here. This guy is on a nice streak. You know, he got a lot of power in his punches and stuff like that. I don't think he's going to definitely, you know, take out Faber. Faber's going to have basically the experience on him. And I think that just might show. It's going to be it's not going to be like a changing of the, you know, changing of the guard, but you're going to have, you know, old dinosaur, new dinosaur, basically. You know what I mean? Just, it's going to be, you know, a typical Faber fight where he squeezes out a win. I don't think it's going to be unanimous, but it'll be a decision. I think El Terror is a little bit tough to where he won't finish him, but he's going to squeeze out the win for sure. I say it'll be a decision on Faber.
I think we have the same score all the way around on this one, guys. There's no way Uriah loses a decision to Jimmy, who can't spell Jimmy correctly with an IE, to Jimmy Rivera. I agree with Marco. I agree with Lerone, and of course Proteus. Uriah in a decision.
Well, I'm on an island by myself, brother.
Did you pick Jimmy Rivera?
Yeah, second round TKO KO.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is where the tide turns, guys, because I'm going with the majority rules. I say Uriah Faber in a decision. Guys, we move up to Marco's favorite weight class, the welterweight. By the way, how about this, guys? Cerrone versus, we can talk about that later.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's incredible. But, all right, let's go into it, Marco. Let's go into Marco to the welterweight. We go Phil CM Punk. Is that, by the way, is that confirmed CM is Chick Magnet? That we don't know, right? Phil
yes,
CM
it
Punk
is.
Brooks. 37
years. We can confirm that.
Old.
It is.
It is? Okay. With the 0-0. By the way, Lerone, he's got the same record we do. 0-0 in MMA, which means he hasn't lost and he hasn't won. He is the underdog, guys. The former pro wrestling star. Did we just say pro wrestling? Yes, we did. Signed in 2014 with the UFC. He's been training under the great Duke Rufus. I did say Rufus, right? He's training under the great Duke Rufus, and he's going up against Mickey. I do have the gall. Mickey Gall, 24 years old, guys. An impressive 2-0, Marco. He has 4 total MMA fights, all undefeated. Keep in mind, he has only had 2 amateur fights. The talented and very lanky Gall has 2 pro fights, guys. One in Dead Serious MMA, which Proteus and I were talking about, and the other in the UFC. Lerone, what you got?
Oh, man. Well, first off, I'm an old WWE fan, so I kind of got away from it in 2001. So I never really kind of seen CM Punk. And when there was rumblings of him coming to the UFC, and even before it was like a rumor, you know, before 2014 and as of when he got signed, I would ask around and stuff like that, to get some kind of understanding of, you know, you can't mesh what he does in the ring and in the cage, especially when he don't have no background. People who watch both sports told me that he was like the Chael Sonnen of WWE as far as, you know, selling himself. I also know that he also trained BJJ. I don't know what color belt he is, but with one of the Gracies, I know he trained even when he was a wrestler. You know, he did something on his off time. He coming in with no known actual, you know, background of martial arts other, you know, besides being athletic. He's coming in with the whole CM Punk moniker and, you know, the fame and stuff like that. So people, I think, are going to just, you know, kind of ride that hype train, I guess, and, you know, the name and stuff like that. It's really hard to go off a lot of stuff. And I mean, when you hear people in a Rufus sport, you know, when they're asked, you know, well, how is he doing and this and that, and, you know, how is he making out, and, you know, they seem like, you know, well, you know, he shows a lot of heart in this and da 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 da, but they themselves can't. You know, you have to kind of go out. It's really hard, man, to kind of really just sit here and say what he's going to do. And a lot of people are mad that, you know, he's not cutting no wrestling promo, but he'll be stupid to and crazy. He don't even have no, you know, actual history in the sport. So I think him coming in, I can respect the fact that he's coming in as, you know, humble and modest and, you know, just, you know, hey, look, I'm a guy that, you know, had a dream to want to do this, and I got it. Yeah, I get it. I got it off my name. I want to kind of just come in and see where I, you know, see where I fit in at. And I think maybe, you know, if he could, you know, pull off 2 or 3 wins, we'll see the personality, or we'll see him kind of, you know, go to the wrestling promo, Conor McGregor, Chael Sonnen type route. Now with Mickey Gall, you know, this kid, he's 24. I'm going to assume that, you know, he'd been training probably for what, maybe like the last 8-10 years in his life, you know, probably as an early teenager, just, you know, training in the sport. And then, you know, you have two. I'm not sure if he's amateur. This is his, you know, he's pro. This, you know, he's 2-0-0. But I know he got some amateur fights. I'm not sure exactly how many. But he has basically a lot more, you know, of a history in the sport, which is not a lot, versus and experience,
right,
which is not a lot, versus
right,
CM Punk. So it's really hard. It's really hard to kind of – it's you got to kind of guesstimate, I guess. I mean, I'm going to say I would like to see CM Punk win, but it's hard to see him just kind of just go in there with someone who just – homegrown is training this sport versus a wrestler who's homegrown training in that sport, if that makes sense. I am going to, I don't know who I'm going to pick on this, man. I would like to just see CM Punk win just because the name, you know, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, because you're a mark.
I can see, huh?
Because you're a mark.
Go ahead, Pro.
Because you're a mark, that's why.
Right.
Right.
I'm gonna say Gall finish him. Like I'm gonna say Punk maybe last one round and Gall finishes him in the second, man. You know, and slows the hype train. But it would be nice to see CM Punk win. So I got Mickey Gall, man, finishing him in the second.
Yeah, Lerone,
Marco,
I think you're,
what you
you're
got?
Right. And no. Let's save Marco's vitriol for the end, please, because Marco is off
it.
On this one. Just give me 1 second, Marco, and then you can go off all you want. Okay.
Be my guest,
so let's touch on what Seated of Triple B said and what Marco said. This fella is nothing but an entertainer, and everything that we've seen so far is exactly that. He performs
Perfect.
Well underneath the bright lights. That's what he's been doing his whole life. Now, eventually, he's going to have to get into an octagon, stripped to the waist, with another fella who definitely has way more experience than he does. And like I said on Sunday, when you asked me about it, Tony, I don't think we're seeing the latest footage of what CM Punk can do or Phil Brooks. But I don't think it's going to be enough. You know, the two amateur fights that Mickey Gall had and the two pro fights that he's had are way more than CM Punk has ever had. You can train in the gym at Rufus Sport all you want, CM, but I don't think he's going to come down with this win. Will they give him a second fight? Maybe, but he's not going to get paid nearly as much for the second fight because, you know, he's garbage, or unless he looks good, which I doubt. So I'm going to take Mickey Gall first round knockout. Go ahead, Marco.
Okay. Let's first analyze why this guy is on the UFC. They contracted him in December of 2014. When, the UFC was going on a skid, you know, they started getting injured. There was no Conor McGregor. There was no Ronda Rousey. Big pay-per-views. There was none of that. John Jones, he would pull some stuff. You got George St. Pierre just retired for a year. They needed a guy like CM Punk. Like, they needed something to pull 500, 600,000 pay-per-views. Now, there is no need for that. And what are you getting with this guy? You're not getting the entertainer, the guy that talk crap on the WWE. You're getting a guy that is quickly realizing this shit is for real, that he's probably going to get hurt. Mickey Gall is a young buck, 24 years old. Yeah, he's 2-2, 2-0 as a professional and 2-0 as an amateur. But those four fights are way more K-size freaking experience that CM Punk got. CM Punk got zero. You don't get an experience on a smoker. I dabbled in martial arts when I was a kid. I dabbled in martial arts when I was in the Army. That does not make me a UFC fighter. CM Punk is an entertainer. He's 38 years old, close to 40. Several injuries on his career. Several. He has
several
concussions. Back surgery. Yeah,
several
he just came from back surgery, shoulder surgery, staph infection. The guy has, his body is wrecked. If anything less than a total demolition of this guy, for me, will be out of the question. I see Mickey Gall is going to take this guy down, because I truly believe Mickey Gall is a superior grappler. He's not going to submit this guy. He's going to ground up pound this guy into oblivion. CM Punk has no business being on this. I mean, good for the guy, whatever. You got into the cage, blah, 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 blah. You are a $20 million millionaire, dude, that decided, oh, I want to get into a freaking cage. That does not make you a UFC fighter, and it's going to get ugly. Get paid and get lost, CM Punk. Make a goal. First round, knockout.
Wow.
You know what, guys? I think Marco can just drop the mic on that one. Everything you said is 100% correct. I forgot about when they signed Bill Brooks, but you're right. That was the time that they didn't have any stars.
Yep.
And unfortunately, guys, I don't see the KO because Mickey Gall is more of a submission guy. I think he's going to submit CM Punk. I think he's going to submit him in probably the first 2 minutes. But I don't see the KO. I think it's going to be submitted. I think it's going to be ugly. I'd be surprised, Marco, if he gets another fight. But, you know, like I said, Marco can just drop the mic there because he's 100% right. Unfortunately, Brooks has no business being in the ring with Mickey Gall.
I think if it don't look anything like Dada 5000 or 3 billion, whatever his name was, versus Kimbo, if it looks bad like that, man, we're not going to see him in there again. At that price tag, we're going to at least see him in there again if he looks half decent. You know what I mean? Mm. At least half decent.
For as much as we, you know, pick on Kimbo, let's not forget the guy was a Division I football player. He was also the backjack brawling. He beat Ray Mercer on an exhibition match. So he got some wins on him. He got some in-cage fights that, whether you like it or not, he actually sometimes look even decent with Houston Alexander, man. He was body slamming the good left and right. Yeah, it was a favorable match, but he didn't look like he was lost there. Rest in peace, Kimbo. At least you took the game serious enough.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. I'm a Kimbo fan for sure. I'm not knocking him at all. Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, he comes, if you ask me, shit, he was a born fighter. I mean, his story is, you know, different to none. I mean, anybody else, that's why he was kind of a draw. It was something out of a movie. You know, here's this guy, single parent, fighting in the streets, and then gets notarized through social media, and then, you know, kind of makes it, you know, to the big leagues, but didn't work out as, you know, a plan, but oh, definitely.
Yeah, so let's get back to this fight and the reasons why CM Punk should not be there. You know, he, like you guys said, like Marco said, he got signed in a time when they needed him. Then we've waited 2 years, right? So does that 2 years that he's been off affect even the wrestling crowd? Like, is the wrestling crowd even still interested in him? Do they even know this fight is happening? You know, it's been so long. I mean, and that's why he's, you know, features so much on Embedded, which I think is stupid. I mean, you've got how many more actual relevant fighters on this card that we could be looking at and hearing from, but we got to see fucking CM Punk training in his downstairs gym with his sauna and his hot tub and his cold tub. Yeah, we get it. You got a lot of money. You shouldn't even be here. Let's not see your face anymore, please. Let's move on.
Hey, can I say something right quick? I mean, do we need to put you in the
Absolutely,
cage with him, man?
You
and Marco? Man, you guys got a vendetta against dude, man. And I totally understand because it's all a money grab, and, you know, it's because he's a face. You know, especially, and I mean, you know, to get the wrestling crowd, they think they're going to strike gold again, you know, being at, you know, Brock's a draw. I don't think it's going to happen that way with CM Punk. Like you said.
Right.
When the hype of when he got signed to now, I think it died down. I only think the hardcore wrestling fans might tune in. What they're going to probably do is they're just going to wait for when it's on the internet after it happens. I don't even think they're going to buy it, to be honest with you. It's not going to be one of those things where you can get the whole wrestling community chiming in because it's CM Punk. And you got to think this generation now, you got your Roman Reigns and all these other wrestlers to where the kids, they're not worrying about a CM Punk. I think the ship sailed, and the hardcore wrestling fan would probably tune in. And I think half of that is going to be just, oh, we'll wait. It'll be on Facebook, you know, an hour after the fight anyway. So I only see maybe the card being boosted up by maybe 100,000 to 200,000 pay-per-view buys because of CM Punk, if that.
Hey, guys, we do have to say this, though.
Anecdotally speaking, on Busted Open, you know, the wrestling show on SiriusXM, most of the hardcore wrestling fans, even they, don't see a path of victory for CM Punk. A lot of them are actually rooting against the guy. And I find it kind of funny, you know, that even the hardcore wrestling guys want CM Punk to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, I think he wins then, though, right? Like Conor McGregor says, and like everybody says, I think Koscheck said this first. You're either watching to see him lose or you're watching to see him win, right? So he wins either way.
Yeah, at the end of the day, right? He's not going and he's trying to get no title and go for a run. He, like you said,
no.
You know, he's just trying to go in there just to prove something to himself that he tried. And this is another thing, too. Think about this. Let's say he goes in there and shocks the world. We're all going to say, oh, well, Mickey Gall, you know, he's 2-0 and... You know, he's not really.
I'm not
going to
say that at all. I'm not going to say that at all. I'm going to say CM Punk got lucky. Let's see what he does next.
I mean, after that, even if lightning strike and the MMA gods decide to pull a joke on us, even if that is like the MMA gods decide, okay, we want to make this guy win just to piss off the MMA hardcores, who are you going to get CM Punk next? You know,
I don't know,
like,
man. I don't know.
That's a good question. That's
last
a
guy
great
that
question.
The last guy that Gall fought? Why not?
And then
bring
the
him back
to
right?
the fight.
That's right. That's right. Bring him back. Anyway,
guys,
DJ. Go ahead, DJ. Get in here and take control of this thing.
I will say this, though, guys. Once you've had a Latina, you want to have their Bambina. And I will say this, say what you want about CM Punk Chick Magnet, but watch his wife. Follow her at AJ Brooks. Believe you me,
there we go.
The Puerto Rico moneymaker is in the house. I will say that, guys.
Former WWE Women's Champion AJ Lee.
That's correct. Marco knows. Spitting the truth.
Whatever they did
was
right. Look at her. We move on up, guys.
Much, yeah.
To the hold on, are we done talking about AJ Mendes?
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, love it, Tony. Go on.
All right, thank you guys. All right, we go, guys, to the heavyweights. We go. Verdum versus Rousey 2. I mean, Verdum versus Honda 2. I mean, Verdum versus Brown 2, guys. Fabricio Verdum, 39 years old. 26-1. Aside from his recent loss to Stipe, Verdum last loss, guys, was to the Ream himself, Overeem, in a decision at Strikeforce 5 years ago, guys. He went on an impressive win streak, beating the likes of Velasquez, Mark Hunt, no relation to Mike, Brown, and Big Nog. Travis Brown, 34 years young, guys, 18-4-1, the 6'7 underdog and only taller than Proteus. Brown is now fighting out of the Glendale Fight Club, which means nothing, guys. He's 2-3 in his last five. He either gets KO'd or gets the KO. He's lost to Velasquez, Arlovsky, and lost to Verdum the first time around. Proteus, what you got?
Yeah, I've got. I don't know why we've got to see this fight again. I don't know why he decided to take Travis Brown. Maybe because he wanted to have an easy fight. And like you said, fighting out of Glendale. I don't know, man. I saw the embed in. They had all this product placement for the Glendale Fight Team, and I was like, "Okay, is that going to actually work?" Because I don't see how anybody coming out of that camp has done anything good. But yeah, no, I don't see it going any. I think it actually is going to go quicker. I think Fabricio is going to take this one down. As long as he doesn't do that stupid face too many times this fight, he's going to take this down. maybe it's going to be a decision again. Maybe he's going to get a KO. I'm having a really hard time deciding how this is going to go down, but I think I'm going to go with second round submission early.
Marco, what you got?
Okay, man. I've been making my thoughts very clear on all the shows about this fight, man. I don't know what Travis Brown got on this fight. We've seen this fight before. The first time they went around, Fabricio Verdun schooled this guy. He was doing keep-ups, for crying out loud. You know, keep-ups. Travis Brown got wheel kicked to death by Cain Velasquez. It wasn't even pretty. And, Fabricio Verdun, besides losing to Stipe, you know, the last time he lost was against Overeem. And before the loss to Overeem, he beat Fedor Emelianenko, for crying out loud. So Fabricio is a better grappler, a better submission fighter by far against Travis Brown. His striking is on point. I mean, he lost to Stipe, yeah, but because he fought with emotion, not with with his head, like he has been doing on his run to the title. Remember what he did to Cain Velasquez. He schooled Cain Velasquez on the feet. He schooled Travis Brown on the feet. Travis Brown is on a crossroad, and I don't see fighter in Glendale is doing him any favors. The only claim to fame for this guy right now is you know, Ronda Rousey want to have his babies. Ever since he left Jackson, he's not the same fighter. And I don't think this is going to go good for him. I know he raised his right hand when Ben Rockwell fell down, because that was the original fight, Ben Rockwell versus Fabricio. He raised his right hand. He said, I'll take the fight. And good for him, you know. It's a gamble on himself, but it's a very high-risk gamble, and it's not going to pay it off. I think Fabricio is going to school him on the feet again, and this time get it to the ground somehow, either by a knockdown or a takedown, and submit Mr. Travis Brown probably at the end of the second, beginning of the third round. Cara de caballo all day, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you guys, man, especially Pro. What's going on over there in Glendale? Is that a Pilates class? What are they doing over there? Tai Chi? I mean, what kind of a gym is, you know, what are they doing with the fighters over there, man? My boy Ellenberger goes over there, you know, he goes over there and he's a totally different fighter, you know, almost got his pink slip. He leaves there, he goes to Kings, and he's a totally different fighter. You have Travis Brown, he leaves Jackson, he goes over there, and he just got, you know, heart shapes in his eyes, and Ronda Rousey on the mind, and, you know, that's my woman. I want to have more babies. You know, I don't know where the hell, you know, his mind is at, and if he's serious, you know. Verdum, I think right now where he's at, he's basically one fight away from another shot. He's a wizard on the ground. He's a wizard. He's a wizard on the ground. Travis don't want to take it, you know, to the ground. He has a puncher's chance. We're talking about heavyweights here. Let's not. I mean, I'm going Verdum on this for sure. I would have to say, I'm gonna say second round early also, man. Sub, but let's not put Travis Brown out there as if, you know, he can't, you know, squeeze out a knockout, you know, being that these are the, you know, the big boys. But I don't see it going any other way for Travis Brown. Him getting submitted, it could maybe be one of those fights where it's a snoozer and it could go to a decision. But I can see Verdum basically just edging out. And then, you know, he has a chip on the shoulder. I heard people and him say that in his last fight in his camp, he was injured or didn't have a good camp. I don't even take that as if he just got caught. You know, he didn't look bad or nothing like that. Verdum just got caught. It happens. You know, you can look great and just zig when you should have. Say that again.
He looked pretty bad, though, let's be honest.
You think so?
He looked like he was rushing in. He looked like he was rushing in and forcing stuff and got caught. I know he did get caught. I mean, he just did get caught, but I don't know if he looked good.
Maybe he was overzealous or something like that, too. I didn't think he looked bad. Maybe he was just overcompensating or something like that, because a lot of people were saying, you know, in the embedded, he was doing the daggone face and all of this too much, and everybody's wearing masks, and it was all like a joke to him, I guess. I don't even know if that played a part, man. I kind of hate to just use those things as excuses. I just feel he got caught, and I think in this fight, and you know, these guys, they fought. I can't remember, they fought before, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so many. I know. I've seen the fight, man, but it's so many fights. It's hard to remember, but
indeed,
I see this fight.
Yeah. Keep going.
I see this fight going to the second round. They're gonna try to feel each other out. Hopefully Travis Brown switched up, but if he's still with Edmund, man, it's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? I know that's the other lady. You know, she's, you know, barefoot and pregnant maybe or something like that. You know, Triple B said, you know, she ain't looking too good. Maybe she's barefoot and pregnant, man, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you're trying to just, you know, keep home happy and, you know, everything is, you know, inconvenience, but, you know, what's more important, family or your career? He needs to fucking leave Edmund, you know? I've met Edmund before, a great guy, but I don't know what the fuck he's doing over there, dude. You know, so hopefully we see something new with Travis Brown. He's mixing up his camp and he's going somewhere else or something like that. But we need the Travis Brown as of late, man, is very horrible, man. And I hope we see a Travis Brown that we've seen from in the past when he was with Jackson's. Because if not, it's going to be an outing for him, man. I see Verdum subbing him out, man, taking him to the ground and schooling him, you know, second round, man, submission.
Guys, I will say this, though. If Ronda's on his mind, that's not a bad thing. And if Ronda's pregnant, guys.
Championship.
Thank you. I got to be honest with you. That guy has hit a home run. Say what you want to say about Ronda Rousey and her being difficult and this and that, and Travis Brown being this and that. I mean, that's a win, guys. That's a win all the way across the board. But
Sugar
we'll
Mama.
Say this. Sorry, go ahead, Marco.
Sugar Mama.
Sugar Mama, I'll take that. Hang on. Thank you, guys. All right, here I will say this, though. Yeah, do you guys hear the X-Files music in the background? That's right.
Yes.
I will say this, though, guys. Travis Brown is 6'7", and even though he's not a great fighter, he's very athletic, he always has a chance, and he is very, very long. I don't think Verdum's going to make the same mistakes. I think Verdum, even though he's 39 years old, I think he's too smart for that. I think he's taking this a lot more seriously. I think he does need to win a couple before he gets back in to the championship. Of course, if Overeem wins, that's all over, guys. But I will say this. I think Verdum takes it. I think it's going to be a submission. I don't know what round. I don't know how to call that, guys. But I will say it's probably going to be Verdum.
That's that fence again, eh, Tony? You got to pick a round, bud.
Oh, boy. Let's say Verdum in the third round. Submission.
Perfect. Perfect. Did we all pick submission?
Yeah, we all pick submission.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing right quick, if you don't mind me butting in. Let's not forget that Verdum, his boxing is pretty decent, too. Let's not forget his boxing is really good, too.
Right.
He's really... I forgot who he fought, and he basically boxed. He boxed him the whole time.
Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, he's like Cain Samaya,
yeah,
dude.
Cain. Right, exactly. But you know, who else it was? It wasn't just Cain. It was somebody else.
He freaking fly knee knockout Marhan.
Yeah, that was also
impressive. Right. Yeah. So he mixed up his camp, man. Remember when he fought Overeem some years ago? Was that Strikeforce and? You know, he'll be begging you to come down to the ground with him. So, this is different
Roy Nelson, too. Yeah, beat the crap out of Roy Nelson, too.
So, let's not, even though... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you keep going.
His bread and butter is on the ground, his submission. Let's not forget that. But I think he's confident in his striking, too. I mean, he really looks good. Like, he could say, you know what, I'm going to maybe stand and bang with him. And I don't think that there's a chance where, you know, he could get outpointed in this fight, neither. He could probably stand and bang with him, and we could maybe get a Orlovsky Brown sort of fight too, and Brown been kind of punchy in his last fights too. I mean, it's the heavyweights. Anybody, you know, you hit them right on the button, right? They're all gonna fall. But this kid, man, he can shock us, and then we're all picking him to sub, and he can maybe knock Brown out. You know what I mean? So
that is exactly what he did to Brown on the first fight. He outstruck the guy and made him look like he didn't even belong. That's what I said. We've seen this fight before. The only reason that I'm picking a submission is because I seen Fabricio Werdum is going to want to make a point. I beat you in the feet the last time, and this time I'm going to beat you with a submission.
Agreed.
That's the only reason I'm picking a submission, because I truly believe Fabricio Werdum is superior to Travis Fowler in any aspect. Let's
gotcha. I'm going to have to rewatch
Fabricio,
that fight.
Yeah, Fabricio Werdum is also a tall, lanky guy. He's not a short guy by any means. I mean, yeah, Travis Brown is 6'7". Fabricio Werdum is a good 6'5". So, you know,
and really
let's
long
not forget
arms.
That Fabricio is a very lanky guy, too.
Yeah.
Tony? All right, guys, we go. So I'm pretty sure that this is a cycle, and we're all going to go in the same direction here, right?
Cycle.
Thank you. All right, guys, we go to the heavyweight. We go, guys, to the championship rounds. We go, guys. Stipe Miocic, 34 years old. Guys, look that up, Michael Stipe. Stipe Miocic, 34 years old, guys, 15-2. The champ, as you know, Marco, is a paramedic and a fireman. Stipe is 9-2 in the UFC. His two losses to JDS. And here's the one that everyone's scratching their head over, Stefan Struve. That's right. Alistair Overeem, the Ream, 36 years old, guys. I actually had to call Proteus and say, has he really had 41 victories in MMA? Because I thought I was combining his kickboxing. Nope. He's 41-14-1, guys. He is the underdog. The Ream is 4-1 in his last five. With four straight wins, guys, he beat Mir, lost to Rothwell, but then four straight beating Struve, Nelson, JDS, and now Orlovsky. Marco, what you got?
I got the champ. That's what I got. As good as Alistair Overeem is, and everybody recognizes that he's probably the best striker in MMA and the heavyweight division, he also have a tendency of getting touched a lot. And when he get touched, he goes down like a tree. Now, it's the matchup that interests me the most, because lately Alistair has been very plodding, very patient. You know, he hasn't been the juggernaut that goes and tries to, like, overrun you and kick you and punch you and burn himself to death, you know, like what happened with Bigfoot Silva, or what happened to him with Travis Brown. He has been more methodical. He's been, like, looking for his shot, like when he knocked out Junior Dos Santos. But the style of Miocic is a very similar style as Cain Velasquez, an in-your-face, pressure, overwhelm you with punches and taking you down and punching you to death. And I think that is where Overeem demise is. As good as a striker as he is, his chins is very, very suspect, because he had a whole bunch of knockouts in MMA. He got a whole bunch of knockouts in kickboxing, too. And this guy has been fighting forever, and not in one combat sport, but in two. And he's been knocked out several times. Let's not forget, this dude used to fight a light heavyweight in Pride. And then, all of a sudden, you know, he got on the special juice, and he became Uberin, you know, the freaking superhero figure that he became. And, of course, he has to get off the juice after he got caught. And come down. He walks around 245, 250 now, and I guess that hasn't been good for his career. All that said, Overeem's got the striker chance. He's really, really good at finding, you know, the spot. He's a very good wrestler. Not forget also, he's an Abu Dhabi runner-up. So yeah, he's very, very decent on the ground and an awesome guillotine. But his chin is super suspect, and with people that pressure him, he has always struggled. People that don't wield to his pressure, he has always folded, and that is what I think Miocic is going to take it. I think Miocic is going to put the same blueprint that he put against Roy Mark Hunt, Roy Nelson, against Junior Dos Santos, even though he lost that fight, he never quit on that fight. He was always pressuring forward. And even the blitz that he knocked out Arlovski with, it was a pressure blitz with several punches at once that overwhelmed Arlovski. I think Miocic is on the up. Overeem, as good as he is, I don't think he got the edge on this one. And I think Miocic is going to probably knock out Overeem in the second round. Miocic all the way.
Wow.
The wrong?
Man, you're going to get my boy Overeem, huh? Oh, man. What Tony was saying, man, yeah, as far as Miocic's record, man, yeah, we're scratching our head on that Struve. That Struve loss. But, we're dealing with heavyweights here. You know, you show up, you zig when you should have zagged, and, you know, you get knocked out. He got KO'd in that fight. Besides that, he lost to JDS, which I thought was a close fight. I can't remember who I picked in that fight. I think I had Miocic in that fight, and he lost a unanimous decision. I felt he got robbed in that fight. So he can kind of say virtually, I mean, you look at his record, he has a great record. His last three knockouts, you know? The Hunt fight was like in the fifth round, and then he made quick work of Arlovski and then Verdum in the first round. Fight of the night, you know, performance of the night, you know, bonuses in his last two. He's also fighting in his hometown. You know, he's kind of riding off of the LeBron winning the championship in his hometown, that pride, and, you know, on the motorcade, you know, the parade.
Miocic got it first.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Correct.
I stand corrected. Marco, you're right. You're damn right, because I was saying that. You're right. I stand corrected because I was saying that to people, too. He was the good luck charm for LeBron to get his damn ring. You're damn right about that. So, if anything, LeBron should be tipping his hat. And I hope it'll be nice to see if the starting five of the Cavs would be there cage side. I don't think we're going to see LeBron there. But it'll be nice if he's there to kind of just, you know, have that pride that, you know, these guys are champions and they're from the same town. Okay, but anyway, I think, like you were saying, Marco, I'm a big Reign fan, and I like Miocic also. I think Overeem's chin is made out of China. And I think Miocic, man, if he catches him, grazes him, it's over. I mean, if you look at, when he was going downhill and he went on that, you know, on that bad streak of losses, Reign, you know, he had to get grazed and just be, yeah, that was horrible. When he got hit by, who was that, Bigfoot, it was just horrible, man. It was just like horrible knockouts, man. It was just bad. And I think Overeem had a resurgence in his career, man. You know, I think at a time where, in one interview, he's talking about maybe, you know, retiring and he don't know, and, you know, kind of being a fight or two away from being cut. You know, he got a big price tag on him, too, when he got signed over. And, he just had a resurgence, man. He mixed up a lot of different things in his camp, even with his conditioning and just to clear his mind and stuff like that. He'd done a lot of other things outside of just, you know, typical training, you know. And then also, you got to think, too, he has a kickboxing background. So, and I love to see fighters, not just in heavyweights, man, kind of mix up, even if you're not, you know, you're more of like a puncher or a ground guy when, you know, you can't get the takedown and, you know, you're not, you know, excelling in hitting any combinations or any significant strikes. I love to see you mix it up with some kicks, man, and stuff like that. And he has the tools to do that. And, you know, he's gonna pride himself on also, you know, executing that in the fight. He's going to throw the kicks and stuff like that and, you know, try to tear up, you know, his frame, man. Throw some knees and get him in the clinch. And if he can, if Miocic will send one, you know, right through the pipe, you know, between the shoulders, or, you know, a nice uppercut and catches him, you know. Reign just really looked good as of late. He basically, man, I think he's still with Jackson's? You guys know?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's with Jackson.
He's with Jackson's good, man. I think they're playing more of like a mind. It's more like mind over matter with him. I mean, he's already a good declarated fighter. I mean, you know, he fought in other organizations and got gold, you know, in other organizations, which, you know, regardless of who he fought. I think in this fight, man, in his last, look at his last fights. I mean, he was what, loss, win, loss. And I'm talking about knockout, you know, unanimous loss, knockout. You know, it looked really bad for him. And then I think, what's his name? Winklejohn and Jackson's, man, they said, look, you know, we have to change stuff around. And not necessarily, man, just, you know, his fighting style, but just more like, you know, mind over matter, man. He did a lot of things outside of the cage. I forgot the guy's name. He was also on the Rogan podcast. He does a lot of things with breathing and breathing patterns and stuff like that. And I forgot.
Winheim. What's his name? Winhoff.
He was doing a lot of stuff for him. Just doing a lot of different things outside the cage, man, because, you know, think about it. When you got 30, 40-something fights, man, at the end of the day, you know how to fight, man. You know, these guys, you know, especially when you're top five in your weight class, you kind of more or less know how to fight. And when, you know, you're kind of just losing the way you've been losing, it's sort of like a psychological. Look at Anthony Pettis. You know, he was talking, look how good of a fighter he is. He's good on the ground. He's good with stand-up. He got that, you know, good old karate. And it was just more like a psychological thing, you know. Sometimes, you know, if, you know, mind doesn't matter, you know, sort of deal. And, you know, he's Raymond's on a 4-fight winning streak, man. And he's just, you know, I think he has tailor-made fight, you know, like a tailor-made game plan when he goes in there fighting these guys, you know. And I think he's going to go in there with that against Miocic. He's going to have to watch out for his power. He's going to have to choose his shots wisely, stay at a distance. I think this is going to kind of resemble the JDS fight. He looked excellent in that fight. He looked excellent. I think he's going to kind of execute a plan similar to when he fought JDS. And that was a 3-round fight, man. He's not going to fight him like that for 5 rounds. I don't know how it's going to end, man. I want to say Reim. I'm gonna say TKO over Reim. I'm trying to be honest. As I'm thinking about it, man, it's hard because he's not gonna think about it, right?
Are you neighbors with Tony because you're on the same fence, brother? Come on.
It's really hard, man. Because think about it, right? Heavyweights in a 3-round fight versus a 5-round fight. You know, you're talking about smaller fighters or bigger fighters. The bigger fighters, it's a whole different world, man. When we see smaller fighters fight, we say, damn, I wish we had two more rounds. With the heavyweights, once it's at that third fucking round, it's like, goddamn, like, you know, two more rounds, and it's like these guys are, you know, holding each other up, you know? So I'm going to go Overeem. I'm going to go Overeem TKO in the third, man.
Okay, so I was talking to Chase from the Tough Prince for 8 minutes while Lerone was talking. Thank you for the breakdown, though, Lerone. I was great. No, I don't see this fight. I don't see either fighter running out of gas. Maybe Overeem if it goes to three. And maybe because he's spent 3 rounds under Stipe Miocic. I can imagine that happening. Oh, Tony with the jams. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Honestly, I've been looking at this fight in my head, and I watched the open workouts and the after interviews. Whoever that fellow was that was a Stipe Miocic fan that was yelling shit, fuck off, buddy, fuck off. But I think that Overeem is going to pose a great deal of problems, a lot of problems for Miocic. I think that Miocic is going to want to wrestle, but we've seen that before from Brock Lesnar, who was a much larger man than Overeem. Well, maybe not at that time because he was Uberim at that time. But we still saw Uberim beat Brock Lesnar, and he was, you know, a very good wrestler. And like you said, Lerone, it's very tough to choose. And, you know, you want to get all your thoughts out and you want to talk about it a lot. But I think that from what I've seen from Overeem and what he's done at Jackson's lately, and I think, Marco, you were saying on this boat as well that, you know, he's looked good with what he's been doing there. He's been staying on the outside. He's been being patient. He's been sticking to the game plan. And he's been knocking fools out. I mean, he knocked JDS out, right? That's no easy feat, guys. And I'm going to take Overeem. I want to say second round TKO, probably body kick. Probably body kick. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
And that soloplex.
Oh, you were finished.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, well, allow me to retort.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if there's any way that that the Ream wins. If you look at who he's fought, it's been pretty impressive, but certainly not who Stipe has fought. I mean, if you look at Stipe's UFC record, right, just looking at it, knockout of the night, fight of the night, performance of the night, fight of the night when he lost to JDS in the decision, performance of the night when he knocked out Andre, and, of course, performance of the night when he beat Verdum. I just don't think that Stipe falls into the trap of getting too confident. I don't think that I think he's going to fight tight. Overeem, of course, is a killer. Anyone that's a kickboxer, hold on, I got to give myself a pat in the back. Anyone that's a kickboxer, it has to be able to fight somehow, some way. But I do think, guys, that his chin hasn't been the same in quite some time. If you look at it, who he's lost with Rothwell, with Brown, and with Silva, longer fighters, the people that he's done well with the exception of Andre, who I think Arlovsky isn't the same fighter. I was surprised when he beat JDS, but that to me was just, if anyone hits us with that kind of punch, we all go down. But if you look at who he's beat, Struve, long, but Stefan Struve isn't going to be a world beater. Roy Nelson, I think I look better than Roy Nelson in shorts. JDS, by the way, I'm still on the water challenge, guys. Just letting you know, I'm still holding fort on a water challenge. I say, guys, it's going to be Stipe in a decision, believe it. Well, hold on, this is five, right? I say it's going to be Stipe. Hang on, Marco, am I still on the fence?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Okay. All right. And who said, did someone say, this is at the queue, right? And this is the first ever event in Cleveland. And even Lerone said that there might be some stars there.
LeBron James.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I think that somehow Stipe is going to pull this off, guys. I think Stipe in... I don't see him knocking out Overeem. You know what, guys? I'm gonna go for it. Stipe in a decision, Marco. Five rounds.
No
That's
way.
A
wow.
Ballsy call. Hey, honorable mention, man. Let's not forget that, even though I pick against Overeem, the knockout of Arlovsky was a sweet, sweet kick combination with a left hook following.
Yeah.
And when Stipe lost his true, even though he was knocked out, he was beating Struve to the punch, and he was kick out counter punch. Struve was against the cage, getting ready to get knocked out, and threw a left hook counter punch out of nowhere that got Stipe right on the bottom. I mean, that is the only time Stipe having been finished in his whole amateur and professional career. It hasn't happened again. When he lost to JDS, I mean, he lost the decision, but you saw JDS' face. JDS looked like the freaking elephant man at the end of that fight. So, you know, who really won that fight? Like I said, Stipe Miocic is going to TKO over in second or third round.
We can agree to disagree, Marco. It's all good. That's what we do.
It's funny, Tony. You said you can't see, even though I got a ring, you said you can't see Miocic knocking out ring. That could be a possibility, man, but.
Sure.
Overeem just, I think he's just clicking on all cylinders, and he's patient, and I think he's just been very patient, and just you know, choosing his shots, taking his time. If you look in that JDS fight, he was very patient, just taking his time, and he was just clicking on all cylinders. And I think we're going to see that, you know, go forward. Even after that, if he, I would hate this. You guys think I'm taking long to decide and being decisive on this? Wait till if he fights, Reign fights Kane. I put in my own segment just to make up my mind.
Listen, guys, this is a serious thing for Overeem right now, right? If he manages to win the UFC heavyweight title, he'll pretty much have
every title.
Gained every title. Yeah, pretty much every title that's relevant. Right. That's true. That's true, but he was a toothpick in Pride, so what do you expect, right? But everything that relevant after that, like if he wins the UFC title, everything but Pride, moving forward, he would have won a title in. And like he said on his post-fight interview with that jackass who was in the background, this is very important for him. You know, it's very important for him to win this, and it would cement a legacy. I mean, you really can't see anybody that's as much decorated as Overeem if he wins this title. And I'll get off of that train. There it is. I love Public Enemy.
Oh yeah.
Classic. All right, guys, let's go into something that's pretty serious. You know, obviously Proteus, myself.
Yeah.
And Marco, we're all parents, and you know, MMA fighter Marcus Coval says goodbye to a 15-month-old son after removing him from life support. I'll tell you, one of the most difficult pictures I ever saw. And mind you, I wasn't in a war or anything, but it's when that picture that he posted in social media, I think it was on Facebook, with his hand on his son's Liam's hand, basically saying goodnight. You'll always be with us. I gotta be honest with you guys. That really, really struck me in many ways. And being a parent, I can't imagine what something like that is like. But I did, you know, after speaking with Proteus, and I did want to say something about this, guys, because it's you know, above anything else, guys. Sure, we're picking fights and we're having a good time, but you know, we're family. Right, in more ways than one, guys, and to see this,
definitely,
you know, 72-year-old person who was drunk driving, taking the life of someone that's 15 months old, taking anyone's life, I don't care how old you are, that was really difficult, guys. So I thought maybe we might want to say something about that.
Yeah,
that 72-year-old person is going to rot in hell and rot in jail for whatever remains of her life.
Correct.
Thanks for bumming me out, by the way, because. Yeah, that is really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I don't know, nothing but source and prayer for you know, for Marcos. I cannot even imagine what he's going through. So our source and
it's
prayer, that's all
man.
We can do.
Change
the subject, dude.
I was hurt and enraged by it, man. My condolences to the family, you know.
Yeah, sorry, Marco. I'm gonna go on this for a bit because
it's okay, man. I understand. It's just very depressing.
No, it's probably the worst news of the week, and you know, I was saying to Tony earlier, just somebody posted a photo of you know, the family beforehand, and that fellow was just a very happy person, and it's very unfortunate. Anytime something like this happens to anybody, I don't wish this on my worst enemy. And this fella is handling it like a champ.
He is.
I would be at the bottom of a barrel, a bottle somewhere, in a ditch right now.
Yeah.
Probably with a pistol in my mouth.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the reason,
this fella.
The reason I want to change the subject is because my wife, 12 years ago, lost her daughter, Lauren, to a drunk driver, T-boned her.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
no,
it hits close to home.
Change the subject.
Even though,
sorry, Marco.
I never met Lauren. I never met Lauren. It really hit home when I talked to stuff like that,
yeah,
with my wife, because, you know, I don't wish that to nobody, and it happened to my wife. 12 years ago.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
When we had Rodrigo and when we had Angelica, it was a blessing for her.
Okay.
Sorry,
Marco.
You're right, Marco. Let's move on. Hang on.
Let's change the subject.
I'm dropping this for myself, guys. This is for myself.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole!
Sorry, that's my fault. Sorry, guys. All right, let's move on
to the last thing.
Guys, yeah, we definitely, our heart goes out to you, Marco, on that, because that's, anyway, let's move, change the subject. Sorry, Marco. Guys, let's talk, before we leave, let's talk about UFC 205, guys, and some of the recent signings.
Oh, boy.
How about, you know, Kennedy versus Rashard Evans? I don't know if the Iaquinta fight has been signed, but one thing that's huge, guys, Robbie Lawler versus Donald Cerrone. Are you kidding me?
Is that signed up?
Yes.
Oh wow.
fighting reported.
That's interesting.
So.
That's a fun fight, man. That's not. I mean, I don't see Cowboy kind of necessarily getting no immediate title shot. I think Lawler's one fight away, being that he was champion.
If Donald Cerrone,
I see it being a fun fight.
If Donald Cerrone beats Robbie Lawler, the former UFC welterweight champion,
yeah.
Donald Cerrone will get the next title shot. All that said, there is no ifs or buts about it, bro. If you beat the former UFC welterweight champion, they got to put like the biggest fights of the decade within Rory McDonald and Carlos Condit. That guy, they got that freaking got two wars with Johnny Hendricks. If you beat that guy, you get the next title shot. Robbie Lawler is ranked number one contender right now in the UFC rankings because he's a former champion. Donald Cerrone beats Robbie Lawler, he gets the next title shot. Everybody here can go screw themselves.
Yeah, I hope that he gets the next title shot if he beats Robbie Lawler.
He'll be in the mix.
Could you imagine?
Well, you got to think. You got to think too, Maya. I mean, Maya's out there. You know what I mean?
Boy, yeah. But you got to give it to Cowboy though.
Definitely.
I've been telling you this theory, dude. Maya, as much as he deserves the fight, as much as all the jiu-jitsu geeks are splooging about, oh, please give the Maya fight.
Splooging.
Business-wise, you know, the first in line is right now Wonderboy Thompson. But if GSP decides to come back, move aside Wonderboy, GSP is going to fight for the title. If Donald Cerrone...
I'm kind of tired of the GSP talk.
Yeah, if Donald Cerrone beats Robbie Lawler, everybody's going to forget about Demian Maia. Demian Maia is going to be eating crow because Donald Cerrone is mega box on the pay-per-view business. And that is why I tell you, Demian Maia might get a screw, and he might not even see a title fight from here until eternity. They're going to put him against somebody and beg for Maia to lose so they don't have to worry about that problem anymore.
I agree. And the thing is, and the sad thing was that even with hardcores, I think some of us kind of, you know, I'm not saying us or, you know, but just, you know, hardcores in general, you know, we appreciate, you know, good BJJ on the ground and, you know, we appreciate what Maia is on the ground as a fighter. But yeah, you're right. I mean, right now, before any fights are done or made, you got Woodley against Thompson, and who's waiting right now, who got next is Maia coming off of a win. I can see Cowboy leapfrogging him, but you also got to think, too, the Woodley fight and Thompson fight, you know, what if it's a war? What if there's a suspension for a long period of time? Even Cowboy or Maia, they might want to say they'll wait, but it's not necessarily up to them. Them two might actually fight to be the eliminator. You never know. You know what I mean?
I see
Lawler if he wins.
I see the UFC bringing back Jake Chills just to beat Maia.
Hey, listen, guys. I know we're pressed for time, so let's kind of move along. But there's another fight that looks like it's going to go through. Weidman versus Yoel Romero in New York as well, guys. That looks like it's going to be exciting.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Anybody
it's
else cool here?
Oh,
man.
Jim Edwards.
Was that confirmed, Pro? Weidman versus
Jim Edwards.
Romero?
Yeah, Jim Edwards is reporting it on his Twitter feed. Yoel, he's got a picture of him signing the contract. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, they don't want to go with Rockhold Wiseman again.
Yeah.
I have Wiseman on that one, but we'll talk about it when the fight gets here.
Yeah, okay. Let's save it.
Yeah,
well, we got to go.
Wiseman too.
Quickly.
I know we got to wrap because we got to get out of here, so let's get out.
Yeah, we all have to get the heck out of here. So let's do this with the quickness as well. I got to be honest with you guys. This is one boy that New York fight. Good Lord! All right, gentlemen,
yeah.
we're gonna get out of here. From of course the one and only Marco. Marco, give your Twitter.
@MaldoMarco. And I'm gonna give you the podcast of the week: Hardcore History with Dan Carlin. Check that podcast out if you want to get some smart people.
Yeah.
Lerone.
Great chatting with you guys. Everybody check me out at Knicks, Kicks, and MMA.
And since Marco was giving out a podcast of the day, I'm going to go with Wednesdays. Yeah, Wednesday's Joe Rogan podcast. It was fantastic. Check it out, guys. It's all about eating healthy and treating your body well. Check that out. And I'm @PROADOS because I'm an idiot and I spelled it wrong the first time. Tony.
Hey, right quick. Okay, let me shout out a Twitter. Not Twitter, but a podcast page for you to check out. Well, Twitter. Pro MMA Radio, Larry Pepe. You guys check him out. Great dude.
And guys, I still can't get out of AJ Mendez's Brooks webpage. Follow her @AJ Brooks. Follow me @WhoCares. Follow her @AJ Brooks. Gentlemen, we'll see you next week. It's always great. And Pro,
just like that.
Work out.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.